Most believers don't think about how important this third chapter of Genesis is. And it's very important to the history of mankind and mankind's relationship to God. So it's important that we look at it tonight. It may take just a little longer than the other chapters. Chapter 3 is actually a history of how sin has changed everything that God did. Remember how God created everything? He looked at it every time he created something, said it is good. It's not good anymore. Sin changed all of that. And it changed it in ways that we never even think about, but we want to look at that some tonight. Many people that think that Eve committed the first sin, but they would be wrong. For the devil committed the first sin in heaven. Can you imagine sin in heaven? You ever thought about it? Satan committed the first sin, and at this point, the devil was just doing what he could to disrupt God's program when he approached Eve. What he didn't understand that was that because of God's omniscience, God had already made provision in the event for sin, and he had a plan to cover our sin. Genesis 3, 1 and 2. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Where do we start? Let's start with the serpent. The serpent was not the animal that you think he was. He was not an animal that slithered. Remember what he was in heaven? He was a beautiful angel. Beautiful. He was probably more like a dragon than a snake when he approached Eve in the garden. He probably even walked upon two legs. He was not only handsome, but he had a lot of charisma and a very persuasive voice. I'm sure that he was attractive. Eve would probably have run from him if he had not been. There are times when we get attracted to people we should not be attracted to. After all, he'd been the most beautiful creature created in heaven that ever was. Now, that was before he was thrown out. Eve did not flee from him, but listened to what he had to say. Because he's referred to as a dragon, even in the book of Revelation. You ever think about that? I don't know what he looked like. He probably looked like a dragon here in Genesis. God caused many changes to take place after this particular sin. Remember that all of the creation was good in the beginning. One of the devil's tricks is to persuade us to sin. In order to persuade us to sin, is to take a partial truth, and he did in this case, if you look at these verses, 1 and 2, he took a partial truth and presented it as the whole truth, and he does that to us. Oh, you're going to like this. Nothing wrong with this. Not going to hurt you in any way. Munch. The devil asked a question that was predicated upon an untruth. And he does that with us often. God had never said that they could eat of every tree, did he? God had specifically said that they were not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve's answer should have been no. God did not say that. But she fell for the devil's trick. She agreed with the deceiver. She permitted herself to be deceived, just like you and I occasionally permit ourselves to be deceived. She agreed with that deceiver, what he said, in spite of what the truth was. Then we come to verse 3. Eve again is speaking. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, there's some real error here. Number one, she separated part of what God said. And anytime we do that, we can talk ourselves into doing almost anything. We can. Eve clearly understood what God had said. The problem was that Eve did something that the Bible tells us we are never to do. What was that? She added to the Word of God. Did he say anything about you shall never touch it? No. But the devil knew that's the way to get us going. That's the way to get us headed in his direction rather than God's direction. There are certain things that you and I should not touch. There are certain events, certain activities that we should never be involved in, because it's going to lead us further and further off the path that God has put us on. And so we have to be alert to that, and that's one of the ways the devil tricks us. Eve fell for the devil's trick. She repeated back to him what God had said, but when she added to it, then neither shall ye touch it, that opened the door for the devil to come in and begin to distort and change the truth. If we do that with God's will, if we say, well, you know, God's will, God's word doesn't say we can't do this, although it's implied in many places. She added that God had said that they should not touch it, and that is not what God said. And any time we quote God as having said something that he has not said, we have just put ourselves in the same department as the devil. We have opened the door, said, come on in. I'm willing to lie. Her adding to what God had said is probably why we're told in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Let me just read this to you. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You begin to see how that adding to what God has said can get us into sin? God's very clear about it. what he has given us here. There's really only one perfect person. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one person, three personalities. He is the one who has given us this book. It wasn't Paul, it wasn't Peter, it wasn't Matthew, it wasn't Mark, it wasn't Solomon, it wasn't David, it wasn't Daniel, it was God. God has given us this book. This book, because it was given by God, was perfect as it was given. So there is no room for you and I to add anything to it. And what she added wasn't a big deal. No, you're not supposed to touch it either. But he didn't say that. She added to it. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." It was a quality she didn't have. That was a part of her life that did not exist. And I have heard people say, and I would imagine that if you have raised children, you've heard something similar to this. Well, if I'm going to know anything about it, I've at least got to try it. That is the philosophy of the world. It's not the philosophy of God. He said, "You shall not." And we don't have to know about evil. They don't teach us. They're not supposed to teach us about evil in the church. They're supposed to teach us about God and about the right things, not how to do the wrong things. That's not part of God's way of teaching us. Now, not only did the devil contradict what God had said, but he told another lie, and he had already started with his lies. He is not called the deceiver for nothing. We have to remember that's one of his names. He's an expert at deception. There are people like that. The devil appealed to her pride. "Oh, I don't have this. So I must really need this. I don't have any knowledge of what's evil and what's wrong. And I know I've got to have that knowledge so that I don't do something wrong." Does that make sense? No, it does not. That's not God's way of doing it. He talked her into seeking for something that she was not intended to have. God made them. He made them perfect. Remember? He looked and they were good. And all of a sudden, the devil's saying, "No, you're lacking something." And in her pride, Eve reached out and took the fruit. Now, just in touching it before she pulled it from the tree, she didn't die. Now remember, she was the one who added, "You shall not touch it." God hadn't said that. So she touched it. She didn't die. Okay, the devil said, "Oh, you're not going to die." He took it. Humanity was no longer sufficient for Eve. She wanted to be like God. And as you think about certain people around us today, and I'm not going to name any names or political parties or anything, but there are people around us today who would like to be God. There's a lot of them, a lot more of them than you might think. And a lot of them that you would be very surprised to find out that that's what they do want. They're there. Now, I want to ask you a question. We have the world as God had made it, as Jesus Christ made it. All the animals, all the plants, the atmosphere, the bubble around it. We have the universe scattered out over billions of light years. All perfect. When God did the creation, the last thing he said, he looked at it and it was very good. How long do you think it took to change that? If you time the things that are in the Bible, it takes less than 30 seconds to change everything. Less than 30 seconds to change everything that God had done. Now, let's just sort of make a little application here. How long does it take for us to get off on the wrong track? Weeks? Months? Days? Less than 30 seconds usually. You were probably right, Sandra. We have to be on guard all the time. All the time. We cannot take anything for granted. It took 6 days to create the universe. It took less than 30 seconds to destroy all the good that God had put in. Wow. This was a pretty important time in history for all of us. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, was that true, all of that? Part of it, not all of it. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also. Now, I want you to watch this. Gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Do you realize that when the serpent was talking to Eve, Adam was standing there? Huh? He was. What it says right here. In less than 30 seconds, it was all over. The deed was done. The sin had been committed. It was so obvious that sin had been committed, things immediately began to change. Genesis 3, 7, and 8. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Nobody had to tell them that they had sinned. Nobody had to tell them that they had sinned. Without anyone telling them, they knew it in their hearts. The soul that God had breathed into them was dead. It was dead. God had told us. He tells us in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Their soul was dead. And they heard God, and because their soul was dead, it had no connection to God, and so they hid themselves from God. Now, you and I We're adults. We know that we can't hide from God because He knows everything. He knows where we are. Physically, health-wise, emotionally, and spiritually. He knows where we are. Nobody has to tell Him. He knows what we need long before we need it because He's omniscient. He knew what we were going to do. He knew what Adam and Eve were going to do, and He created them anyway. And they hid from God. Now, where are you going to get help? Do you really need help? Are you going to get it from the Lord, or are you going to get it from your best friend? Maybe you can go to the bank and get it. Or go to the doctor and get help. We all know God is really the source of anything we need. He is. I'm so glad Bobby is teaching from the book of Acts and dealing with this healing stuff and the tongue stuff. There have been two times where I've seen God heal people and nobody else was involved. It was just God. He doesn't use people for that. He doesn't have to. He's God. So, here they are hiding from the very one who can help them. Think about this. Every relationship between God and man changed at that moment that they bit into that piece of fruit. Every relationship between God and man, man died. Man's soul died. But so did the whole creation change. Prior to that time, animals didn't eat animals. They ate grass. They ate plants. Mosquitoes didn't suck blood. Flies didn't bite. Bees didn't sting. Snakes didn't bite. And the whole creation changed. Because of sin. And today, sin still affects you and I the same way it changes everything around us. We can be living a perfect life, and we can spend weeks, figuratively or on paper, we can spend weeks and never sin, just thinking about God and serving God and serving God. And something can happen, and in just a few seconds, that can all change. And we sin. And that separates us. It cuts us off from God. Unless we repent, we turn in a different direction, and we go back to God and we say, Father, forgive me. I did such and such. Forgive me. Help me not to do that again. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what the sin is. It doesn't matter. He will cleanse us from it. A lot of us have done some pretty wicked things before we got saved. And it wasn't just one or two things. We can't count them all. We definitely don't want anybody else to count them all either. So here they are hiding. Our relationship with the devil changed at that point. Adam and Eve's relationship changed. Everything changed with just one sin. Adam and Eve were no longer comfortable with each other. Imagine that. They no longer were comfortable with each other. The relationship they had had prior to that time was just a oneness, a uniqueness. And they were not bothered by anything. Everything was right. Everything was perfect. And all of a sudden, that one sin, and suddenly, it says their eyes were opened. And they were no longer comfortable with each other. Pride came into being. Pride came into their lives. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? That was not a question of location. He knew where Adam was. He knew where Eve was. But they did not know where they were. Just like you and I don't know where we are once we get into sin. How far away from God we are, how much we're headed in the wrong direction. He didn't ask this question for information. He knew where they were. He wanted them to recognize where they were spiritually. They were spiritually dead. They were hiding from the one friend they had. Isn't that something? Adam did not think this thing through, or he might have acted differently. We might do things differently if we thought about things before we did them. The devil usually gets us to act upon impulse rather than reason. And most of the time it works. Why do you think they put all the candy at the checkout? It's not because they didn't have any other place in the whole store to put it. They want you to buy it on an impulse on the way out the door. Oh, I'm hungry. I've been shopping for buying groceries for 2 hours. You know, I got to have something to eat. And there's my favorite candy bar laying there. The devil does this, folks. That's the way he works. Genesis 3:10-11. And he said, this is Adam replying to God, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now here's the beginning of Adam's problem, okay? We've had the same problem ourselves. God, and he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Ever come home when you have small children at home and say, I didn't eat the cookie. You haven't said anything about cookies. Like a criminal getting stopped out on the street. This actually happened in my life. Connie had a cousin that she grew up with. He was a bit of a problem. He liked to steal stuff. He didn't like working. And he broke into my mother-in-law's house, and he took her TV. We had bought her a color TV because she didn't have one. She couldn't afford one. We had bought her some other things. He broke in while she was having dinner with us one night at our house. When we took her home, we found all this stuff missing. And we thought, well, it's probably so-and-so. Neighbor said they saw a particular vehicle. And so I ran into him on the street 2 days later. And the first words, he was in his car, and I was in my vehicle. I put the window down. I pulled across the road in front of him so he couldn't get out of the road. And the first thing, he rolled his window down and said, "I didn't take that stuff." For real. That's actually what he said. I said, "Bobby, we know you did, because the neighbor saw your car there." And I started to get out of my truck. And one of the things that he had stolen was a .32 revolver. Out the window it came. He started to shoot at me. He missed, obviously. I had a gun, too. And I pulled it out. We're going to have an old Western shootout right there in the street. And the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't do it." And I couldn't. He fired 6 shots. He missed 6 times. From less than me to Lacey. Now, I did get in the flesh, but I did not shoot at him. I shot a hole in his radiator, a hole in his gas tank, and 2 tires. And he sped off. And I called the police, and I got fussed at for having an old Wild West shootout in town. And he got away. But he called a couple of weeks later and wanted to give all the stuff back. He wouldn't be prosecuted. Okay, that's the devil, folks. And it's all taking place. Decisions are being made in seconds. And they're not good decisions. God is going to help you make the right decision in a crisis. And if you get in the flesh, you may do the wrong thing. I shouldn't have shot at his vehicle, but I'm so glad I didn't shoot him. People, that's life, and that's the way the devil's going to go after you. It doesn't have to involve a gun. It can involve words. It can involve emotion from the heart. I definitely was not loving him at that point. He wasn't loving me. I want you to realize something here. God started to chide Adam and Eve for what they had done. Because what they had done undid everything he had done to create this beautiful planet we live on. To create all the wonderful animals that he has put around. All the wonderful food. Cantaloupe, honeydew, watermelon. Just think of the things he's given us. Honey. Just green beans. Collards. Think of all the stuff that God has created for us. And in just 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds, all that was undone. God put it here to be a blessing. And God said, "That can't be anymore. You've broken my command." When God asked Adam, "Who told you you were naked?" Who else was around to tell him? The serpent certainly didn't. It was not difficult for God to figure out what had happened. Just like when you come home and your children say, I don't know how that lamp got broke. We weren't playing football in the living room. Just keep in mind that God knows everything. We can't hide anything from Him, not even ourselves. God had a plan A that got fouled up. So He went to plan B. Now comes plan B. Everything changes. God knew because He had contemplated through His foreknowledge of what would take place, and this was not a surprise to Him. Nothing surprises God. You can do whatever you want to do that is wrong, is sinful, is wicked, and God already knows you're going to do it. And He has already made provision for you if you will accept it. I want us to go back up to verse 6, which tells us that while this conversation was going on between the devil and Eve, that Adam was beside her. He did not enter into this thing without knowledge. But she gets the credit, okay? She gets the blame. They played the blame game afterwards. Well, you know, the serpent beguiled me, and the wife beguiled me, and the wife that you gave me beguiled me. Doesn't work, folks. You know, who's responsible? Yep. Genesis 3:12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He's trying to pass the buck to her. What other excuse could Adam have? At least Adam didn't lie to God. He told the truth. Even with the truth, he was still guilty. Next, Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Pass the buck again. Blame someone else for the sin. Adam started it, and the woman was a fast learner. She continued. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Look at the method God used to correct the situation. He followed the blame to the perpetrator, and he started there. There's going to be a lot of change. In fact, everything is going to change. God started by giving the serpent a slither. Okay? That's why they do. No more would it walk like other animals. He would live in the dust. There's a curse upon all serpents, and they would be feared and hated by most women. Now, I do know a woman who loves snakes, and she raises them. But she's a little strange, okay? Now, this statement is not necessarily made by God, but it's implied. When God created all life, it was planned that life would go on forever. It was eternal. When God created this earth, there was no death. There was no sickness. There was no pain. All of that changed the moment Eve bit into that fruit. When God said, all the days of thy life, it was determined that life would come to an end. That was the first indirect mention of death. Death became a part of life. And it came from that first sin. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Enmity is a hatred or an enemy. It comes from the word enemy. I will make the devil an enemy. And he is our enemy. And I will put between thy seed and her seed hatred. And it shall bruise thy head. In other words, it would crush the serpent. And thou shalt bruise his heel. He bruised the heel of Christ when he was crucified. But he rose from the dead. The cross was the heel, the Achilles heel. Okay? Not his literal heel, but his life. And God would put enmity between the woman and the serpent. And he did. Here's the first prophecy of the coming Messiah in this verse 15 of chapter 3. At this point, the devil knew that his time was going to be limited. The end could be seen at the cross, and it's foretold in Revelation 20:10. And it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The fact of the woman's reaction to snakes is also prophesied in this verse. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, now he's going back down the chain. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, ladies, I don't want to offend anybody, okay? I'm just going to tell the truth of what God's word says. Our society today promotes the woman going into combat like men are supposed to do. But women are different as a result of their original sin. A woman is made as a more emotional being than a man. She experiences more sorrow over her children as a natural consequence of God's declaration. She will sorrow over the giving birth to her children, and there will be pain of delivery and discomfort in carrying the child to full term. That is just part of the consequence of the first sin. She will desire to have children, even though it causes discomfort. And the last part of the consequence of the woman's sin is this. Now, I'm not saying this. God says this. Okay? Her husband will rule over her. The husband is to be head of the household. The husband has the ultimate decision. That's what God says. Now, we all know of couples where the woman runs the home and she dictates to the man what is going to be done. That's against the declaration of God. It is sin. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and men, we still do. Most of the time, we want peace at home. We want lunch and breakfast and supper. We don't want to go to our bedroom without supper. So we give you ladies what you want. Most of the time. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. This was not God's plan to begin with. Man was to be eternal. Man's consequence for his sin is sweet. Is sweat. Not sweet, sweat. Hard work. Sorrow concerning the work, unless it's done for the Lord. Also, it's God's intention that the man work all his life until he comes to death. God's retirement program is work and more work. That's his program. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Eve actually means first mother. That's what the name means, first mother. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This is a very important verse. God himself offered the first blood sacrifice for sin. God himself offered the first blood sacrifice for sin when he killed some of the animals to make clothes to cover Adam's and Eve's sin as well as their bodies. This was a picture of what would be necessary for man to be forgiven his sin when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The picture of what God did for Adam and Eve. There were many other changes that took place because Adam and Eve sinned. The creation became a potential threat to mankind. Snakes bit men, spiders poisoned men. Lions ate other animals, and death spread over the face of the earth. Man was still a vegetarian at this point, but that would change after the flood. Until now, man had been fairly comfortable in the Garden of Eden, but that was also about to change. Genesis 3:22-4. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God did not want man, who was now dying, to eat of the tree of life and live forever. I can tell you, when you get into your 80s, life is a lot less fun than it was when you were 40. Isn't that right, Lacey? Wouldn't it be awful to live forever in these bodies, corrupt as they are? God did not want that. God did not intend to do that. So I would have you notice one more thing as we close our study of chapter 3. The Trinity discussed what they were going to do with the sinners. Because once sin occurred, it was easy for it to occur again and again and again. The man was thrown out of the garden, and an angel was posted to keep man out and away from the tree of life. The garden no longer exists because the flood destroyed it. Any questions about chapter 3? Next week we'll look at chapter 4. Father, thank you for telling us in your word some of the things you have done, some of the change that had to take place because of our sin. Father, keep us from sin. Keep us close to thee. May we live so that we don't have to hide from thee, but that we may love thee and experience your love and your grace. And we'll praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.